Okay. Let's get moving.
We
got 6 o'clock. My time of the Rabbanan. Right? Really?
Yeah, sure we got.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Here we go. Now we have two. Okay. So we're up to my time of the Rabbanon, 3 lines up from the bottom on Yudches Amud Beis. We're in the middle of a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Question is, at what point does a Zar become ineligible to do the Avoda of a Mincha? At what point do we say, okay, Zarim out, Kohanim in? And specifically, the question is, the Avodas that are before Kemitza. Everybody knows Kemitza must be done by a Kohen. That we know. In fact, if you look at the pasuk I bring for the Rabbanon on the page, you can see it. Vayikra Beis, Psukim Aleph, and Beis, V'nefesh Ki Sakriv Korban Mincha. It's talking about a voluntary Mincha. And it says, V'yatzako Le'ashem, and you put the oil on the flower of an Asam Le'alavona, you put on the frankincense, V'aviyah, B'nei Aaron HaKohanim, you bring it to B'nei Aaron, V'kamatz, and they do the Kemitza. So for sure, once you hit Kemitza, it's supposed to be done by a Kohen. The question is, what about before Kemitza? We have a Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon being the Rabbanon being the ones who say, starting with Kemitza, that's what the Kohen has to do, and the view of the Rabbanon that it's the view of Rabbi Shimon that it's even before that. So my time of the Rabbanon, what's the Rabbanon's rationale for saying that the requirement of Kohen begins only at Kemitza? My time of the Rabbanon. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'yotzako le'ashem and v'nasan ole'a levona. You pour on the oil, you put on the frankincense, v'yaviyah b'nei Aaron ha'kohanim, it should say ha'kohanim, not ha'kohen, v'kamatz, mikemitza v'elech mitzvahs kehuna, from Kemitza and onward. We made al yitzika oblila shekshera bizar, which teaches that yitzika and blila, pouring on the oil, which the preceding stage of pouring on the oil and mixing it in, that's kasher bizar. That can be done by a zar. Fine. The Rabbi Shimon, what do you do with that? So he says, because the pasuk says bnei Aharon kohanim, but mikra nidrash lefanav ula acharav. I will apply those words prior in the pasuk to the preceding words as well as to the words afterwards. So if you look on your sheet, the first explanation of Rabbi Shimon, I put it in bold. He has hakohanim v'kamatz going back on v'yatzak. From the beginning of the pasuk, so therefore I need the kohen to do that earlier avoda as well. But the Gemara now challenges and indeed rejects that approach because v'savar Rabbi Shimon mikra nidrash lefanav ula'achrav. Does Rabbi Shimon really believe that when I have a requirement stated in the pasuk, I will apply it back previously in the pasuk as well as after that in the pasuk? Vatanya, beginning of the third line, Vatanya. Here's a brisa. V'lakach hakohen midam achatas be'etzba'o v'nasan al karnos hamizbe. This is regarding Kabbalah's Hadam and what we do with the Dam in, by a Nasi's Karban Chatos. But we're going to extrapolate from there to other Karbanos. And the Pasuk says, the Kohen will take from the blood of the Chatos with his finger and he will put it on the corners of the Mizbeach. And remember that when we say Etzba, finger, we assume we mean the right hand. That's our assumption. So he says, Be'etzba'o v'lokach. We're taking Be'etzba'o and applying it back to the word v'lokach. Melamech lo de kabbalah ele b'yamin. To teach me that, even the receipt of the dam, v'lokach, must be with the right hand. And Be'etzba'o v'nasan, the verb that's after Be'etzba'o in the pasuk, Melamech lo de nesina ele b'yamin. That the placement on the mizbeach also has to be with the right hand. That's the Tanakhama. But Amar Rabbi Shimon v'chinamar yad v'kabbalah. Rabbi Shimon says, we didn't mention the hand. And when we say the hand, as Rashi notes, we mean the etzba. We didn't mention the etzba regarding Kabbalah. However, Lanemar, Yad B'Kabbalah, Kibel B'Smol Kosher, since the Torah did not specify etzba'o regarding Velakach, regarding Kabbalah Saddam, it's kosher. You can do it with the left hand also. The Amar Abai, and Abai comments on that Braisa, the Mikra Nidr Shlefanav Ul'achrav Kamiflagi. The Machlokas is exactly about this point. The Machlokas is about whether you go backward in the Pasuk or only forward. So Rabbi Shimon Shimon's view is that Be'etzba'o is only on Benasan and not on Velakach. So we've established Rabbi Shimon's methodology, assuming Abaye is correct, which we will assume. Rabbi Shimon's methodology is that when the Torah states a requirement in a pasuk and then continues with activities, it means that requirement goes for the activities that follow, not the ones that were mentioned before the requirement. So then how is it that over here, regarding the avodas before Kemitza, you want to apply the requirement of the right hand, not the right hand, excuse me, you want to apply the requirement of a Kohen to the beginning of the Pasuk as well, to Kabbalah Sadat, to Yitzika. So the Gemara answers, you're right.
The Gemara is not prepared to entertain the fact that Rabbi Shimon might choose to do that sometimes.
And not other times, correct? Nor is it willing to entertain the idea that Abaye is incorrect in his analysis of Rabbi Shimon's position. We take it as given that that's what Rabbi Shimon was doing, and that indeed Rabbi Shimon means it across the board. And we say, okay, so there's another explanation. That's okay. We have other explanations for what Rabbi Shimon was doing in our case. We'll re-explain Rabbi Shimon in our case rather than re-explain Rabbi Shimon in that case. After the parentheses, rather Rabbi Shimon's explanation is this: the pasuk says veheviah, right? When you look at the pasuk regarding the kamitza and the avodas that are before and after, so the pasuk says veheviah el bnei Aaron hakohenim. I bolded the vav mosif al inyan rishon. That vav, that's the magic vav that says to me that what we're about to say is adding to what came earlier. So earlier we talked about the pre kamitza avodos. That's also supposed to be done with bnei Aaron hakohenim. That's the idea. To which the Gemara says, "V'savar Rabbi Shimon vav mosif al inyan rishon." Does Rabbi Shimon really believe that the vav adds to what came earlier? Is that true that the vav is now going to be used as a hook, as a connector in the pasuk? Ela me'ata dichsiv v'shachad es ben habakar v'hikrivu bnei Aaron hakohenim es hadam v'zarku es hadam. Right, when the completely separate pasuk. But we'll use it nonetheless. It's the same phenomenon. We talk about the requirement of a kohen or non-requirement of a kohen for shechita. The pasuk says, "V'shachad es ben habakar, he shall shecht the animal. V'hikrivu, there's your rav. Bnei Aaron hakohenim es hadam. The bnei Aaron are going to bring the dam and put the dam on the mizbeach. And we say, mikabalah ve'elech mitzvahs kehuna, that the mitzvah of using a kohen, bless you, only begins from kabalas hadam. That's it. Malamid ashechita shekshera bizar. But that a zar can do the shechita that was mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk. Ila Rabbi Shimon vav mosif al inyan rishon. But if Rabbi Shimon believes that the vav in fact adds to what came earlier, then shechita achanami bizar de psula. Shechita should also require a kohen. If you're applying the principle, then apply the principle. That's the way it should work. So he answers, yeah, but that's a different story, that pasuk. Why? Sha'ani hasam, it's different over there. Da'amar kra, v'samach v'shachat. When you look at the pasuk carefully, you have a verb in the beginning that says v'samach. It's in that same section, but it's the preceding pasuk. This samach yadal rosh halav. That's regarding the owner. The owner does smicha on the karban, and that leads up to v'shachat. So we make a hekesh. We link the two. Ma smicha bizarim, af shchita bizarim. Smicha is done by a non-kohen. In fact, it's done by the owner. So too, shchita is done by a non-kohen. To which he says, well, wait a minute. If you're really going to make a hekesh, let's do it right. Ima smicha bebailim, af if smicha has to be done by the owners, right? You can't have a random Jew go up and do the smicha. It has to be the owner. So we're linking b'samach b'shachat. The owner should do the shechita also. And that would decrease the number of people who could bring korbanos. So he says, "Ahula matzis amris." Now that you can't say. Why? Kal v'chomer. This is a very odd kal v'chomer. If we had time, I would sit on this kal v'chomer for a while. He says, "Umaz rika di ikar kapara lo baya bailim shechita de lav ikar kapara lo kol shekain." He says, "The zrikas hadam doesn't need the owner. The zrikas hadam, we use the kohen, even though the zrikas hadam is what you use for the kapara, right? Kapara bechdil ashkechan badachatos and all that. That's where your kapara is, and yet it doesn't require the owner. So shechita, which is not the essence of the kapara, certainly doesn't require the owner. It's a very odd kal v'chomer." There. I mean, the smicha, right, is certainly essential to this. That's when you do your vidoy, if it's a chatos and all that, and that uses the owner. So I could argue and say from the smicha that you should. Not to mention, we're dealing with a hekesh here. If I have a hekesh, I should use my hekesh. This is a hard to understand
thing. The owner by definition, because it has to be the koi.
Well, that's the next line. That's the next line. V'chi teima ain't done an efshar mishai efshar. And if you'll tell me, well, I can't extrapolate the rules for shechita from zrika, because it's not possible for you to use the bailam for zrika. Zrika, we know, must be a kohen. Don't extrapolate from there. Don't make a kal v'chomer from there. Goli rachmana b'yom ha-kippur v'shachadas parachatas asher lo. So I have a different source. You don't like my first source. I'll bring you a second source. My second source is that the Torah says on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol brings his korban chatas, and it says he does the shechita. Mechlal de shechita be'alma lo ba'inan b'ilev. From the fact that the Torah needs to specify on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol should do the shechita of his korban, that means that in general you don't require that the b'ilev do the shechita of their korban. So he scraps the kal v'chomer in any case. It's a remarkable kal v'chomer. I'd love to spend time on it, but it's just not going to happen. But one note that's on this, what emerges from this discussion, is that regarding shechita, that the owner can do the shechita, the czar can do the shechita, or the kohen can do the shechita. The czar in Parshas Naso, I gave you the reference on the bottom, says that a kohen is not allowed to do the shechita. What do you make of that? The kohen is not allowed to do shechita? So I found this in Magalios Hashas from the Mazitzer, writing in the Yisa Bracha. He said, he's not supposed to do it. L'chachila b'diyamid, nothing. So the answer is, because what did we do here? We used a hekesh to say that you use the bialim, right? That was the goal. We used the hekesh, and then we used vav mosif alinyan rishon to say, but we also accept kohenim. So Tosfos, Ella over here, points out the Rabbalosa Rabbi Shimon in Zvachim Chavdaladam and Beis does not accept the principle of vav mosif alinyan rishon. And if you look in the Zohar, that's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon speaking there. So once you drop Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon, all you're left is the Hekesh to say Bailam are supposed to do the Shechita, and therefore that line in the Zohar says that you can't. That the Kohen can't do it. I read that Tosus and reread it and couldn't understand what he was talking about, because my edition of Tosus says Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, but it's wrong. If you look at the source, that the our edition is wrong. The Gemara in Zvachim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. It's a mistake in the edition. But in any case, the upshot of our whole discussion is we have a Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan, whether a czar can do the avodas before kmitza. The Rabbanan draw it from the pasuk that says the kohen starts with the kamatz, and Rabbi Shimon either says, well, that hakohanim goes back earlier in the pasuk, or the vav in veheviyah tells me that bnei aron hakohanim refers back to the kamatz as well. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon in the middle of the Tosfos there.
Of course, mitzvah etan.
Yes. Same thing. No kidding.
But he said l'chadchila.
He says l'chadchila that it should be the bialim. Based on that Zohar?
He doesn't say the Zohar.
Ah, all right, I have to look in the Mitzvah. Interesting. Okay. Amar Rav, new thought in the Gemara, and the issue is the idea of ikuv. When we say that something is a requirement for a korban, that a certain process is a requirement for a korban, it's based on the appearance of the words Torah or Chukah or some combination of both, as we'll see in the Torah. If you look at the table that I brought you, just to show you what that table is, the first case on the right is the case that we're going to talk about. The second is the part of the korban that we believe is ma'akev. The third is the appearance of the word Torah regarding that mitzvah. The fourth is the appearance of the word chukah regarding that mitzvah. And then the fifth, we'll get to as we go through. The Amar Rav. Rav says, the middle of the page on Yitessim et Aleph, Kol makum shenemar Torah v'chukah, eino ela la'akev. If the Torah uses the terms Torah and chukah regarding a mitzvah, that teaches me that something there is a requirement for the mitzvah. It must be included or else the mitzvah is void. Kasalka daitach, our assumption going in is tarti baya. You require that it's a Torah, and you require that it's a chukah in order for this law to be relevant. Kidichsiv, as the Torah says regarding para aduma, right? That was our maftir. Zos chukas haTorah. So the Torah says chukas haTorah. That's Torah and chukah, and that teaches me that the specifics of the para aduma, the prate hapara, are requirements. So the Gemara first challenges and says, well, what about nazir? Vare nazir. By Nazir, it only says Torah. Specifically, the pasuk says Zos Taras HaNazir. Rashi fills in for us. The Amar Rav Tenufa Ben Nazir Ma'akva, and the rule is Tenufa, picking up the Chaz of Ashok by the is it the Chaz of Ashok actually? It's the Lechem, right? Yeah, the you have to pick up the Lechem Tenufa Ben Nazir Ma'akva. That's an absolute requirement, but it only says Torah there. That's all it says. Zos Taras HaNazir. It doesn't say Chukah. So he says, Sha'ani Hasam. Yeah, but Nazir is different, and this is where the last column comes into play. I have another source. Kevin Dixiv, Kain Ye'aseh, so it shall be done. Keman Dixiv, Chukah Dami. Since you say, this is the way it shall be done, that's good enough to absolve me of the need to include Chukah. So it's Torah plus Kain Ye'aseh that does it for me. So the Gemara goes on to a next test case, the issue of the Karban Toda and the requirement of four different types of bread. Hare Toda deloksiva bei ela Torah. All you have is the word Torah regarding the Karban Toda when it says Vezos Torah Zevach Hashlamim. Rashi fills in for you how this works. If you see Rashi on Toda, Ksiv ba Vezos Taras Zevach Hashlamim .. Imal Toda Yakrivenu, because a Toda is a subset of a Shlamim. So that's where I'm getting the word Torah there. So he says Utnan, and the Mishnah says Arba'a, it should have the word Minim, Shabbatoda Ma'akvin Zed, that each of the four different types of bread are absolute requirements, even though all it says is Torah. It doesn't say Chukah. So he says, yeah, but again, we have a unique pasuk there. We have another source. Sha'ani toda de iskish la nazir. I still have the hekish to nazir dechsev al zebach todas shalamav. Here, v'amamar shalamav l'rabos shalmei nazir. Al zebach todas shalamav teaches me that some of the laws of the carbon toda will apply to the shalamim brought by the nazir. So that teaches me that I link toda and nazir. So just like by the nazir we require tenufa, so too by the toda we require dalad mine lechem. It's the hekish to nazir. That's my source. So the Gemara says, all right, another test case. Vare mitzara, delok sivvei ela Torah. It only says Torah regarding the mitzara. Zos tia taras ha-mitzara, right? So he says, utnan. And yet the Mishnah says, Arba minim shabba mitzara ma'akvin zeh. The four different species that are involved in the purification of the mitzara. I put it on your sheet. Rashi brings it also. The Erez, the Ezov, Talaz, and the Shnei Tziporim. So those four things are requirements, even though the Torah only uses the word Torah. There is no word chukah there. So he answers, Sha'ani asam. That's different, because kevin dechsev zos tihyeh taraz ha-mitzara. So it shall be, keman dechsev bei chukah dami. It's the word tihyeh. That's the magic word. So now until now we have defended the idea that in general you need chukah and Torah in order to teach me that something is a requirement. However, you might have another pasuk fill in a blank if one of them is missing. The Gemara now is going to throw the rule out the window. The Vare Yom HaKippurim, what about Yom Kippur? Deloch siv bei ela chukah, where the Torah only uses the word chukah. We don't have the word Torah. All we have is what I wrote on the sheet, right? By Salachem Chukas Olam Utnan, and I have a Mishnah that says Shnei Seira Yom Kippurim Akvin Zedzeh. You need both the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazazel. If you're missing one, the whole thing is no good. So, and all you have is one chukah. Ella O Torah O chukah. So he says, all right, you're right, you don't need both. All you need is one or the other. To which he says, V'arei sha'ar karbanos dechsiv behu Torah v'lo ma'akvi. But wait a minute, if all I need is one, why is it I have a lot of karbanos where the Torah uses the term Torah, and I know that the elements are not ma'akvi? If you take a look at Rashi, he says, the Sha'ar Kabanos Ksibu Torah, Zos HaTorah, La'olav, La'mincha, etc. Veloma Akvi, Rashi continues, Damar Beperakama, Ba'asham, Hu Atzmo, Shalahutu Emurav Kasher. We said that if the Emurim didn't go on the Mizbeach, right, it's still going to be kosher. So that's not ma'akev. U'mincha ksiv zos taraz ha'mincha krev, referring to Hagasha, Utnan lo higish kosher. So he says, I don't understand. So he answers, Torah baya chukah, v'chukah lo baya Torah. He says, you're right, the real word that matters is chukah, not Torah. If you have chukah, that's the ma'akev. If you don't have chukah, it's not. I v'atorah v'chukah ka'amar, but that's not what you said. You said Torah and chukah. Hachi ka'amar, this is what he said. Ava gav dechsiv Torah, ik siva chukah in v'lolo. It has to say chukah. If it says Torah alone, that's not sufficient. It has to say Torah and chukah. It has to have both. That's the idea. So far, what we have is that chukah is the real requirement. Chukah is the real McCoy. So he says, all right, let's try another test case. Let's try mincha. Vari mincha dichsiv ba chukah. The Torah says the word chukah regarding the mincha. Va'amar Rav kol makom shechzer akasu b'taras mincha eino ela la'akev. We say that wherever the Torah uses the term mincha, it is a requirement. Where the Torah, kol makom shechzer akasu b'taras mincha. Everywhere that the Torah stated something twice regarding the mincha, that's specifically to teach me that it is a ma'akev, that it's a requirement. Hechzir in lo, hechzir lo. So the rule regarding mincha is not, gee, it says chukah, therefore it's a requirement. It's if the Torah says it twice, it's a requirement. That's the rule. So he says, Sha'an, and we're going to come back to that idea in a little bit. He says, Sha'ani hasam dechik siva chukah achilak siva. He says, yeah, but you know why? Because mincha is unique. Because in the case of mincha, the Torah uses the term chukah regarding eating the mincha, not regarding the avodah. Therefore, it's not a requirement. That's the idea. To which he says, one more case. What about the lechem apanim? Barei lechem apanim, the showbread from Shabbos. Dechik siva chukah. When the Torah says chukah, it's talking about eating the lechem upon him. That's the reference. Rashi says, v'achvichluhu b'makom kadosh, ki kodesh kadoshim. It was he. Yeah, but I'm just, is it hilo? I think it's hulo. And in any case, me'ishay Hashem chak olam is really the key for our purposes. and it's written regarding eating that. So it shouldn't be a source to teach me ikuv, to teach me a hard and fast requirement. Utnan, and the Mishnah says shnei sedar ma'akvin zedzeh, shnei bezichin ma'akvin zedzeh, hasedar ma'bezichin ma'akvin zedzeh. Regarding the lechem aponim, you need all the loaves and you need all of the frankincense. If you don't, if you're missing some of that, the whole thing is no good. So he says, you got it all out of Chok Olam, even though it's written regarding Achila, regarding eating. So he says, Ella, rather, Kol Hecha Dichsiva Achila Akula Milsa Ksiva. He says, the truth of the matter is that writing it regarding Achila doesn't eliminate its significance. It's still significant. However, Sha'ani Hasam, when you're dealing with Mincha, it's a different story. Da'amar Kra Migirsa Umi Shamna. Because I have a pasuk in Parashat Vayikra which says, you shall bring from its geres and from its shemen, specifically, teaching me that it has to be complete. All of it. All of the Mincha, the flour, and all of the oil as well. Geres v'shemen me'akvin. That you have to have all of the flour and all of the oil. And nothing else is. So that's how I know that chukah there is not going to in and of itself teach me anything. That cancels out the effect of chukah. It's not because chukah was written regarding eating. It's because chukah was cancelled out by girsa umishamna, and therefore I needed hechzila hakasuf, the Torah, to reiterate the requirements in order to teach me what it is that is absolutely me'akev. So the upshot of all of this is that if the Torah says the word chukah, I assume that that means that that whatever we're discussing is me'akev, is a hard and fast requirement. That's my assumption in general. Regarding the mincha, chukah is insufficient, and it has to actually specify the requirement twice in order to teach me that this is really me'akev. So the Gemara revisits that idea that regarding a mincha, the Torah must say it twice. Gufa, we're on the second line on Yutes Amud Beis. Same point that Rav just said. Amar Rav, kol makom shehachzilo akasev b'taras mincha, eino ela la'akev. Where the Torah repeats something regarding the mincha, that tells me that it's a requirement. Ushmuel amar, geres v'shemen ma'akvin vein davar acher ma'akev. And Shmuel says, no, geres, the flour, and shemen, the oil, we need all of those intact. That's what's ma'akev, and nothing else is going to be ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Ule Shmuel, and according to Shmuel then, Ava gav de tanabe krolo ma'akvalei. If the Torah says something twice, it's still not ma'akev. Is that really true? No, not really. Ella, rather, this is what we should have said for Shmuel. Kol hecha detane beikra vadei ma'akva. Where the Torah says it twice, it's ma'akev. That's number one. V'hacha bimelo kumtso, bikumtso kamiflagi. The only machlokas that we're having is melo kumtso and bikumtso. I brought you the psukim on the sheet. One is from Parshas Vayikra, one is from Parshas Tzav, and it's important to know these psukim. No, it's important to know all the psukim, but whatever. The pasuk says, ve'viyav b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim, you're going to bring it to the kohanim, the mincha, v'kamatz misham melo kumtso. And he's going to take his full kamatz from it, misalto misham, not kolavon asa. That's the first pasuk. The second pasuk is from Parshas Tzav, and it's regarding the miluim, and that's why it matters that you know this pasuk. And it says, you shall do, once again, it says, with his comets from the solas and the shaman, fundamentally the same pasuk. It didn't say malo, but other than that, it's the same point, the same description, so the Torah reiterates it. So my question, the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is, does this second pasuk count? We believe that repetition matters. Rav and Shmuel agree that repetition matters and teaches me this is a hard and fast requirement. The question is whether this is called repetition. What do you mean? As follows in the Gemara. Disanya, we're about 8 lines down. The Torah says, Melo kumtso, and it says, Bikumtso. Shalo ye'ase mida l'shalo yase mida l'komets. Teaching me that you shouldn't make a kli that's the same size as the Kohen's komets amount, and just do your kmitza with a kli. That's what it's teaching me, not to do that. Rav Savar, ha nami tana beikra. Rav says, yeah, you know what? I know that because the Torah actually says it twice. Dichziv, vayakreves hamencha, vayimalecha po mimena. He filled his kaf from it. Ushmuel, and Shmuel disagreed and says, doros misha lo yalfinan. He says, you can't learn what we do with a mincha down through the ages from what happened at a one-shot deal during the miluim. There it says, Aaron brought the mincha and he filled his hand from it, but that's Aaron's hand. That doesn't teach me what Kohanim may and may not do down through the generations. That's the idea. And the same thing is true regarding Bikum Tzau. Does he consider this a repetition if the second appearance of a Pasuk is regarding the Miluim? Does everyone follow? You see what we're doing here? Does it count as a repetition if you're not going to be... If one of your statements is regarding the Miluim? So the Gemara says, really? I have another case in which we learn from the Miluim. V'lo yalev Shmuel daros misha. Shmuel doesn't deduce what we do, what Kohanim do for all time, based on what they did during the Miluim. V'atnan, what about the following lesson? Here's a Mishnah. Klei alach mekachin es alach. Umidas hayavesh mekachin es hayavesh. Remember we discussed why he uses kli for lach and mida for yavesh, or I didn't discuss it, I just pointed to the Tosfos. But we say that you use the liquid holding receptacles for sanctifying liquid, the dry holding receptacles to sanctify dry, and you can't use the liquid holding receptacles to sanctify the solids or vice versa. And Shmuel said, not so fast. That's true only regarding midos, meaning the yavesh, avol mizrakos mekadshim. But the mizrak, which is normally used for liquid, may be used to mekadesh the solid. Dichsiv, because it says at the miluim, when the nesiim bring their gifts, it says they brought mizrak, right? But shneihem mileim soles, both of them filled with soles, with flour. And I assume that they're sanctifying the flour that way. So here you have a story in which the miluim, something occurs during the miluim, and it's done through all time. We're deducing it from the miluim. How could he do that? This is Sha'ani awesome. That's a different story. The Tana Bakra tracer Zimnin, because the Torah says it 12 times, it must be serious. To which Tosfos says, why don't I argue Shnei Ksuv and Abo and Kiecha to teach me it's only the law here and not anywhere else? And he says, don't ask that question. He just says, don't ask that question. Sorry. Ein Lachshos. But I think I know why, but the point is now we have three lessons from the Miluim potentially, right? One lesson from the Miluim would have been to teach me what is Ma'akev and what is not Ma'akev. I'm sorry. The first lesson would have been Melo Kumso, Bik Kumso, to teach me that you don't make a receptacle that's the size of the Komets and use that. And that, we said, Shmuel doesn't want me to learn for all generations from that. The second lesson that we want to deduce from there is the lesson of Vaimalek Kapomi Mena, that was the second lesson. Sorry, the first one was what's Ma'akev? Was Shana Akasev La'akev? That was the first one. Geras and Shemen alone or not? The second one was the Kli and Kapo of Aaron, and the third one is Midas Hayavish, to be using the Midas Halach to be Mekadesh the Yavish, using the Mizrak to sanctify the flour. And that one, he said, that one you can do for all generations. Shmuel says that one I can do because the Torah said it 12 times. But ordinarily, I don't deduce from the Miluim for all time. That's the idea. Okay. Amar le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav. But Rav Kahana and Rav Asi go back to the statement of Rav, that where the Torah says it twice regarding Mincha, now I know that it's Ma'akev. So he asks, Vare Hagasha, what about bringing the Mincha over to the corner of the Mizbeach? The Tana Bakra v'lo Ma'akva. The Torah says it twice, and yet it's not Ma'akev. Mantanabe, what did we learn here? What are we talking about? Dichsev, as the Torah says, Zos Taras HaMincha HaKrevo Sa B'nei Aaron. I'm sorry, not Mantanabe. Maitanabe is the Shita Mikubetz's line. And what he's asking is, where did the Torah say it twice? Where is it repeated? Yeah, thank you. Dichsev, Zos Taras HaMincha HaKrevo Sa B'nei Aaron Lifnei Hashem. This is the law of the Mincha, and B'nei Aaron shall bring it Lifnei Hashem. They shall bring it before Hashem. And the Pasuk continues, El Pnei HaMizbeach, to the face of the Mizbeach. So there, we say, the Torah does say it twice, and yet it's not Ma'akev. So his answer is, because you know what? When the Torah says that, Ha'u likbo'a la'makom u'da'asa, that's meant to teach me where on the Mizbeach you're supposed to bring it, because it specifies you're supposed to do it lifnei Hashem and el p'nei ha'mizbeach. And that leads into the question of how exactly I know I'm supposed to do the Hagasha to the southwest corner, and we have two approaches. He says, Disanya lifnei Hashem. Yachol b'marav. It says lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. We assume that means in front of the Kodesh Kadashim. So therefore, you should do it right at the entrance to the Heichal. Do you see Rashi's picture there? So I would assume you're supposed to do it at the entrance to the Heichal, meaning the west side of the Mizbeach. Tamalomar el p'nei Mizbeach. No, because the Torah says, do it on the face of the Mizbeach. Our assumption is the face of the Mizbeach is the south side, by the ramp that goes up the south side of the Mizbeach. So it should be on the south wall. Then it should be entirely on the south. No, because the pasuk says lifnei Hashem. Okay, so how do we do it? Magisha bekeren dromis ma'aravis, the southwest corner, keneged chudosh hakeren, by the edge of the corner, v'dayo, and that is sufficient. That way, you manage to do south, and you manage to do west. You are both. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that view. Remember, we saw this gemara back in Zvachim Samach Gimel Amid Beis, and over there we saw from numerous mefarshim, it's clear that Rabbi Eliezer is actually disagreeing with the previous view. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yochol Yagishen Elamarava Shalkeren Oladroma Shalkeren. I might think, he says, that you should do it on the west side of the corner or the south side of the corner. He's disagreeing with the idea that we're doing it on the edge, and he says I might think maybe the west side of the corner, maybe the south side of the corner. Meaning, one or the other.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're disagreeing about whether he's on the ground.
No. No. Disagreeing about how I know southwest corner and what I end up doing.
The first. Is there disagreement?
Yeah. That's one of the building blocks to his position. But what the disagreement is about fundamentally is about whether I'm doing it on the edge of the corner or not. Watch what he says. We'll walk through Rabbi Eliezer. We'll walk through. Hang on. We'll walk through Rabbi Eliezer, and you'll see. They're both using the word Karen. He says, Yochol Yagishen Ola Ma'arava Shal Karen Ola Droma Shal Karen Amrit Kol Makom Shata Motzei Shtei Mikraos. He says, when you see two psukim, Echad Mekayim Atzmo Mekayim Chaveiro Vechad Mekayim Atzmo Mevatelas Chaveiro, one you can maintain along with the other. Whereas if you insist on fulfilling the other one entirely, you'll knock out the first. Manichin Esh Mekayim Atzmo Mevatel Chaveiro V'Tavtsin Esh Mekayim Atzmo Mekayim Chaveiro. We would prefer to take the reed which will satisfy both rather than satisfy one and eliminate the other. So how does that work here? Shekshata Omer Lifnei Hashem Bimarav. If you say Lifnei Hashem in front of the Kodesh Kadashim entirely in the west, Bitalta Alpanam is Bech Bedarim, then you can't do the south. Right? Ukshata Omer Alpanam is Bech Bedarim. But if you can say Alpanam is Bech in the south, Kiyamta Lifnei Hashem. You can still do Lifnei Hashem. Veicha Kiyamta, how? Ravashi Kasav Raitana Kulim is Bech Betzavon Koi. Ravashi says, because he believes the home is Bech is in the north, and therefore, if I do it on the south wall of the Mizbeach, it will still be west, it will still be in front of the opening to the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim. So he says, I can satisfy everybody by doing it on the south wall. That's what his disagreement is. The Machlokas with Rabbi Eliezer and the first Tana is that the first Tana wants you to do it at the corner, and Rabbi Eliezer wants you to do it along the south wall near the west side of the Mizbeach. That's the idea. That's the machlokas between them, and you're right, it's predicated on the assumption that the Mizbeach is entirely in the north, and therefore the south side will still be opposite. Remember, we learned about this, we did the whole picture.
Like Rashi's picture here.
Correct. You have to move the Mizbeach a little bit.
To the right.
You have to move the Mizbeach over to the right or towards the Tzafon in order for this to work within Rashi's picture. That's correct. That's the idea.